Hey, welcome to Addicted to Faith, the last storyteller podcast. I'm Jim Hurdle, your host. And tonight with me is a writer, Yannis Ferrar. He's also evidently he's a time traveler and perhaps a werewolf. And it's the first one that I've had on the storyteller podcast. Welcome to the show, Yannis. How are you this evening?
I'm great, Jim. How's everything?
Doing good. A lot of people like to listen and learn about books. But sometimes they said before that they want to learn about authors. And that's what we're doing tonight is want to learn about you. Then we'll talk about your book, talk about what your plans are for the future. So you've got it. It's yours to tell everybody about who you are and whatever you want to tell us.
Thanks, Jim. I'm the author of the book called The Rising Claw. It's a novella that was published in 2022 by Friesen Press. So my story goes way back. I'll make it as quick as possible as I can. I was raised in Montreal, born in Algeria to a Romanian mom and Algerian dad. And basically what happened, my dad got found a lady that was taking the bus, and my mom got her foot stuck in the door of the bus, and he helped her out, and that's how I came. And then after that, I didn't know any word of English going to Montreal to Toronto. So I moved from Montreal to Toronto. My parents separated, and it was quite an interesting story. But I learned about what you have to do to learn another language, and I was getting a D minus at the time. Actually, I failed the course the first time I came here, my first semester, and then I got some tutoring done, and within the second semester, I got a D plus, and my friend got a D minus. So I was like, I'm already doing better than you, and I've only been here for 4 months. So the story of how I came to become a writer goes back to when I was young in Montreal. I had a cousin of mine, and she was really funny, and we'd sit there and talk, and she would tell us stories. Horror stories, to be more specific, like Blair Witch Project, all that kind of stuff. And she used to scare us. And she was really good at it. And I actually called her this week, thanking her for all the positive impact she had on me on my writing. And I'm glad I can share this with you guys now. Again, English was my second language, and it still is. But I love the language. It's amazing how storytelling can do in this language. I think it's probably one of the most popular language in the world for storytelling. And there's so many authors out there, and it's really complicated to get inside and start your career with it. I would love to be a writer in the future and get paid to write, sit home, maybe go to the beach and travel the world and just do book signings and just write all the time.
Well, hopefully we can help you with that because we are here not only to meet you, but we're here to sell books. Specifically, your book, The Rising Claw. Now, this book is it's supernatural, right? The genre, I guess, would be an occult and supernatural. And it's the main character is John Crossing. Do I have that right? John
Hey, you got
Crossing?
it. You got it right, Jim.
Yeah. And he is well, tell us about him. The story is one that you're sort of following along and things seem to be changing and thinking, where is this going? Where is this going? You do a really good job of keeping the reader wanting to turn to the next page in your style of writing and the way you do that. But tell us about the story or how you came up with the story, a little bit about it.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, it's great to hear that. It's a page turner. That's why I keep my chapters really short. John Crossing is the Jesus Christ of the 17th century. So in Romanian, they say Christos a înviat, adevărat a înviat. That means Jesus was reincarnated, and yes, he was. So we don't know that. I don't know if it's really him that's Jesus. It's just a character. But I portrayed him as like the Jesus of the 17th century. So he's destined for greatness or death. And it's either he's gonna save the world and keep history from not erasing itself and keeping all the documents and the knowledge of our world and the things we see, like supernatural forces, telekinesis, telepathy, anything that's sci-fi or Star Wars, Star Trek, whatever you can think of in gifts and super abilities. So That's about what I, what was the other question, Jim, you asked? How did I come up with the story?
Yeah, is it, I was reading in your bio that you talk about out-of-body experiences, that you were able to take those type of things and put them into your book, into your characters. I was fascinated by that. You and I had talked before, and there's a lot of spirituality within your soul, within your life, and that bleeds into your book. There's no doubt about that. But when writing this book, because it's, I mean, 17th century Europe, that's a long time ago to write about. I would imagine there was some history research that had to be done on that. I was reading through it, and there was a couple of things that I had never heard of. And I was, again, and I'm a history buff. I'm fascinated by these things. But where did you get to the point where you thought, I want to put this story down? I want to tell people this story.
Right. It's like, there's no werewolf movie. And I'm like, oh my God, I think I dreamt of that. And it was so vivid in my dreams. And I remember the story. So I put it down on paper as quick as I could, wrote the first chapter, put the second chapter in there. And then I was like, that's my beginning. And then through meditation, and I was able to astral travel. That's what you were talking about, when you can travel in time and see other people and who you are in the next lives and all that stuff. You can actually access that by just sitting down on the floor, crossing your feet, and just, if you do it in the dark, in the light, it doesn't matter, but it's more helpful in the dark, and you can actually travel and find places where you were or where you are in the past, or basically in a multiverse. So I did get sick at one point. I was taking a literature of the Holocaust course, and that was had a big impact on me, and I got sick. I ended up in the hospital, and after that it went downhill, but then I picked up again. I picked up the book, and I kept at it. During COVID actually was when I finished it, because I told myself, I have my mom's got a like shed in the back of her backyard. It's a small treehouse, so I went there every day, and I said, I'm gonna write 1,000 words a day. And I did, and then I finished it, and then that was it. The book came out, and now it's doing pretty well, and it's on many different platforms, which we can talk about that later, I guess, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So is that, and that traveling type of thing, is it dreamlike?
No. So dreamlike is really vivid. They call it like lucid dreaming, right?
Right.
So that's when you're like in my dreams, if I'm in control of it, it's always different, but I can choose to fly. Like I can fly in my dreams, which is pretty fun, because I remember sometimes I wake up from it and I'm like, how did I get so good in my dreams? So like, how am I so much in control? And that's because of meditation, because it clears your mind and accesses your unconscious mind, and you have so much potential. They say the brain, we only use, I think it's 9% of the brain, and there's potential to reach 25, 50, whatever it is in the future, right? Whether we're going to be cyborgs or humans with special abilities, we're always evolving. It's kind of like some people in our world today are mutants. If you look on Google and you say mutants of today, you're going to find some guys who can, there's one guy, he can eat metal, and he ate an entire plane. So there's these things with supernatural force. There's like another guy who I remember, I don't know if you want to put this somewhere in a video description, if you can, or I'm not sure. His name was Dynamite Jack. He was this Chinese meditator who meditated for years, and he's able to push with his hand and create fire from a paper. He can release enough energy to put the paper on fire. It was just incredible.
So, and is Dynamite Jack, is he on YouTube?
Yeah, you can find them there on YouTube. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll certainly put a link in the show bio. Now, John Crossing, he has a secret, and you use a term in there. It's called to turn. And this sickness, I guess, is what's facilitating him to turn. Can you explain to me what you mean by to turn?
That's funny that you say that. I was on another radio show and I had the same question. So turning is referred to, they say it's subtle, quick, painless, but it can happen. And how it works, basically, your whole bones start to break, your spine. It's you're basically losing yourself and turning into a werewolf. So that's the turn. Vampires don't turn. They're always the same because, well, they do turn. Like, it's a bit different because they have to drink the blood of an archetype in order to turn. We'll talk about the archetype maybe later, but the vampire turning doesn't involve bones breaking and changing structure. You're still going to stay humanoid. By humanoid, I mean human form. Whereas when you're referring to turning as a werewolf, you turn into a satanic beast. And the werewolves, like I said, they lose control. They don't know what they're doing when they're in that form. So with the meditation, when we're referring to meditation and you ask me about astral traveling and going in the future in the dreams. So when you're dreaming, again, it's your unconscious mind that's accessing your meditation. It all links together in some ways.
Yeah, and it's as fascinated by the evolution of this thing that we call a werewolf. It goes back, I think I'm a couple of years older than you, but it goes all the way back to an actor named Lon Chaney years ago. And I don't know if you've ever seen any of his old black and white movies where Lon Chaney would become this werewolf whenever there was a full moon, and he would howl. And of course, the cinema photography back then was terrible. You could see it where his makeup began and where makeup ended. And then over the years, we've seen many of those in movies, and they've been cast in different lights. You know, Silver Bullet by Stephen King has this guy that he's scary. You know, of course, it's a Stephen King novel. It's a scary, scary guy. Then we went to the other end with the comedy. I can't remember the name of it now, but it was where we're playing basketball. Your character does not come across to me, or maybe there's an internal thing going there. He's not a guy that's out to howl at the moon and go out and kill people. He actually says we must acknowledge our existence to prove to our future generations that our struggle is meant to be remembered.
Right.
It's a great line in the book.
Thank you, sir.
And when John Crossing says that, but it leaves the reader thinking, is he talking about his internal struggle, or is he talking about the battles? Because obviously there were good battles going on there in the 17th century too. But it was enough to make me say, like I said earlier, I want to read the next thing that this guy's going to say.
Funny, Jim. I like that. So the struggle, again, the struggle, there's two struggles in this book, and it's always like that for every book. It's plot and character. Those are the two. So the plot and the character are both going through struggle. But in this sense, so just a brief synopsis of the story. It takes place in the 17th century Europe, and this is after the Black Death, the plague that was happening in the 12th century, and like with Macbeth and what's his name again, Shakespeare, and all that stuff that he wrote during that time. But the plague has pushed on all the way to that time. It never really ended. And so when he's saying it, for us, our struggles to be remembered, because they keep files of documented records when they're not werewolves before they turn, they go in, they have a library of their own where they do their work. And basically what they do, they write down what's happening in the past, the last week, the last month, the last year, and so on. But then when they turn, they forget who they are and they don't remember anything. So that was like a reflection, a metaphor for me, because I have schizophrenia. And sometimes when I'm turning, like when I'm having an episode and I come out of it, I don't know what I did. And that's scary because you don't know your actions at that time and you forget. So that's how that came about. Their library that they go to, they work together. And the reason it works so well is because you can't read another person's writing and they don't know who's writing it. So there's a bunch of them, probably about 20 to 30, and they're writing in these libraries and documenting their files. And they don't put signatures on them either, because if somebody were to sign and get caught, they would be able to find all of them together. I don't know if that answered your question, Jim.
No, it does. It does a lot. And again, the concept of this story and the way you've laid it out and the way it continues. There were a lot of things, like I said, I didn't quite understand, right? And I thought, well, I'm going to be talking to him anyway. I'll find out, you know, straight from the writer's mouth. And it's a fascinating story. Are you working on us? Are you working on part two?
Oh yeah, I'm working on part two and three at the same time, to be honest. Yeah.
In that genre, that seems to be very popular, right? That these stories, they could continue on for years and years and years, and because you're creating a fantasy world, so to speak. It's not necessarily a fantasy book, but a fantasy world, and people are anxious to read those. But I also wanted to let the audience know about this other part of your life that I also think is worth talking about, and that's your children's books and your Animalosa.
Animalosa,
right? And you had mentioned to me that you are also collaborating with children and writing these stories. How is that coming along for you?
That's great. That's great you asked me about this. So that for everyone who doesn't know me or doesn't know what I do, I do writing on the side. So my current project is called Animalosa. You can find it on Kickstarter. You can fund anything you want. We have the first pledge for $3 on Facebook. You're going to get a shout out, and it goes all the way to $40 for one of my copy of The Rising Claw. And then there's more packages, anything you can afford. It's nice to help out for myself so that the project can come true. So what do we do here? I'm a tutor, a French tutor, in Toronto here where I live, and I teach kids French and English, and I help them both in those languages. And what I found myself doing is picking an animal, let's say alligator or bear or cat or dog, and what we do, we go in, me and my client. The person I'm tutoring, the child, and we come up with stories for these animals, and we do it together. So there's one called Max the Ape, who's a gorilla, and he lives in a zoo, and he gets lost, and then the cops find him, and the lady cop is really nice to him, and she brings him back to the zoo. And then at the end of that story, Max the Ape is really content, and he becomes friends with the cop. And then ever since then, the cop visits him every day just to keep him company, make sure he's not going to run away again. So these are just short stories, an example. They're really short. They're about 200 to 400 words, and they work well. I'm working with someone right now as an illustrator. We're going to get the project figured out, but we're just trying to get some funding for it because, you know, publishing can be expensive, Jim, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we'll also put a link, into the show about that for anybody who wants to go out there and help you, certainly with doing that. The connection with the kids, the children, as a tutor, and then taking them into this art of storytelling is one that's near and dear to my heart, right? I raised six kids myself, and all of them, when they were small kids, we would tell stories. I would tell them stories. And so often those stories would begin by me asking them to tell me something to tell a story about. And then the imagination of children, you could start with a gorilla, talking about a gorilla walking down the street, and then let the child take over. And the artwork of their mind is just incredible. And I admire you and applaud you for that project. And I'll certainly get the information out there and be more than happy also to donate to that, because I think it's going to be worthwhile for you to do. Stick with the Rising Claw series too. That's for a totally different audience than the books, the children's books are,
but
it's a growing audience. It's a definitely growing, and you can have both. You can have both worlds, and you can be successful in both worlds. If that's what you decide that you want to do, you started off this podcast, by saying that's what you want to be. You want to be a writer. And I think you have the makings to become one. Now it's just finding the time to do it, right?
Yes, Jim.
Yeah. So, well, listen, we're coming up on the time to cut out of here now. Is there anything else that you want to tell our readers about or tell me about We're gonna, like I said, we're gonna mention Dynamite Jack, and we're gonna and your children's books. We're gonna mention all those, and of course, the link to the Rising Claw will all be in here. So you don't have to worry about that. We're going to get that information out there for you. But is there anything that you would like to leave us with that would say, hey, man, this has been a good 20 or 30 minutes I spent with this guy from Toronto?
So I want to make sure the book is, it is available on many platforms. I don't know where you are, in which country or the world, whoever you are, if you're watching this show. I am with Friesen Press, so you can buy there directly on their website, because that's the publisher. It's probably going to be the cheapest price you can find. But if you Google my name and Yanis Farrar, The Rising Claw, and whatever you are in the world, like, I'm also in Walmart in the States. I'm also in Amazon. So there's a lot of ways to buy. If you're in China or anywhere, you can look it up and you can buy directly. There's just a little bit of an exchange rate that goes in. And Jim, I'm going to leave you with a quote. And the quote is, never give up, keep trying, die trying, and you will succeed. Just put your mind to it and anything can be accomplished.
And that's a good quote to live by. I want to ask you one more question, because you were talking about worldwide coverage of the book. Is it available in other languages other than English?
Right now, no. I have a French version, but I had a publisher offer me a couple quotes. Not a publisher. I had a few of them, actually, four or five. But it's in the process. Again, the funding that we get for Albert the Alligator will help to get that that book published as well, the French version of The Rising Claw.
Well, good deal. Well, listen, let's go sell some books. It's been really good talking to you tonight, and we'll get this all out.
Yeah, so I'll be in on Word on the Street. Word on the Street in Toronto. If you want to come say hi, you can get a signed copy. I'm sure Jim might have some viewers from Toronto. So if you guys are listening, I'll be there from September 27 and 28. I'll have a little booth, and I'll be dressed up as a vampire as well, because that's usually my trade line when I go sell books. And if you want to say hi and buy a copy, you can also scan the QR codes and it'll take you on the Kickstarter. Like I said, anything, guys, anything help. We're trying to move these projects along. We need support. It's really complicated when you're working and doing both of them at the same time and paying bills and stuff at the same time.
Yeah. And you got a fiance. That's never cheap, right?
Yep, you got it, Jim.
So hey, Word on the Street, is that a bookstore? Or what is that?
It's an event.
It's in an event.
It's okay. A huge, huge event where people in Toronto, all over Canada, come there and sell their books. There's going to be publishers. There's going to be food. It's going to be fun.
September 27th and 28th, and Word on the Street. We'll add that to it. And Yanis, again, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Messenger. That'd be much better. Did you get it? Y-F-O-U-R-A-R.
Right. Got it. Absolutely.
And Jim, one more thing. If you have issues finding those videos like Dynamite Jack and stuff, send me a message and I'll be able to find it for you. Whatever you're looking for, if you need anything. Because I'm all over the world.
Right.
The book is in English, but you can find it anywhere in the world. But sometimes they try to make those videos banned because the government doesn't like showing those things. So
Yeah, that's another battle that will continue as people that are in the artistic realm. It's a battle we've been fighting for a long, long time, right? And banning books down here in Texas. I'm in Texas, and I was really, it's a very conservative state, and how many books are being banned,
right?
And I mean, I don't have to tell you, you're grown up. There's certain books that should not be allowed in school, in elementary school, right? But to use the word ban instead of using the word responsible, it's just, it's the wrong way to go.
Right.
It's just absolutely the wrong way to go. So
yeah, just let me know if you need help finding any of these,
I sure will. And like I said, I'll send it out to you before so that you have time to let everybody know about it.
Okay. And it's going to come in an email. You said, yes?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it's going to be an audio file?
No, actually, the promo, I'll send you the promo as an audio file too. There's two different promos I do. One is just basically, it's an announcement This is what's happening Thursday night. Then I'll do one. What I'll do is I'll take a short, probably about a 15, 20 second clip from our talk tonight. And I put that into a different one, and I'll send that one to you also.
Awesome. Okay, Jim.
All right, bud.
Have a good night.
You too. That was my interview with Yannis Ferrar, the author of The Rising Claw. A very interesting fellow. I learned a lot in talking to him. It's a different world than what I live in. And it's always fascinating to hear about these worlds of time travel and out-of-body experiences and how those will help someone write a book, write a story. I'll put all the links in the show notes. And that's going to wrap it up for tonight. Keep reading, be safe, and I'll catch you on the highway.